The vibration of the turnstile against my hip was usually a mindless mechanical hum, a rhythmic "you belong here" that I'd heard 4,000 times since I started at Nexacorp. But this morning, the light didn't just flash green. It stayed a steady, pulsing emerald. And the heavy glass barrier didn't just nudge, it swung wide with a suggestive, silent invitation. I was looking for the break room on 4, but the elevator didn't even ask, it just took me to 12. 12 doesn't exist on the directory. 12 is where the air smells like ionized dust and expensive silence. When the doors slid open, the carpet was a deep, bruising purple, and my badge, clipped to my blazer, felt suddenly heavy, like a lid weight pulling me into a floor I didn't have the clearance to even dream about. I stepped out, my heels muffled by the pile, and for a second I thought I heard a server fan stutter, a tiny mechanical gasp in the dark. I should have turned around. I should have pressed L and gone back to my spreadsheet and my lukewarm vanilla latte. Instead, I walked toward the only light at the end of the hall, a soft blue glow bleeding from under a door marked System Architecture. My badge didn't just unlock it. The lock clicked with a frantic, eager snap before I was even 3 inches away. Inside, the room was a cathedral of blinking LEDs and black glass, and there was Miller. He was hunched over a terminal, his white blonde hair catching the blue light, looking less like the IT guy who fixes my Outlook and more like a ghost haunting his own machine. He didn't look up when I entered. He just said my name, low and textured like sandpaper on silk, and told me that the glitch in the system was finally starting to like me. I told him my badge was broken, that I shouldn't be here, that the restricted access was a mistake that would get us both fired by noon. Miller finally turned his chair, his eyes bloodshot and wide, a frantic energy radiating off him that made the air in the small room feel pressurized. He leaned back, spinning a silver stylus between his fingers, and told me that there are no mistakes in a closed-loop system, only unintended features. He claimed the server migration had created a phantom permissions tier, a digital glitch that had somehow latched onto my specific employee ID. It was a temporary tear in the fabric of the corporate hierarchy, he whispered. A chance to see the things the executive board whispered about when the rest of us were grinding away at our KPIs. He looked at me with a terrifying kind of pride, like he'd personally hand-carved the key that opened the door to the kingdom, and for a moment, I let the adrenaline wash over the common sense. The first text came at 11:14 a.m., just as I was sitting back down at my unremarkable desk on the 6th floor. It wasn't from a number I recognized, just a string of zeros that bypassed my spam filter. The wallpaper in the chairman's private lounge is raw silk, gold-flecked. You missed the hidden safe behind the portrait of the founder. I froze, my thumb hovering over the screen, the cold chill of being watched sliding down my spine like an ice cube. I hadn't even seen a lounge. I'd been on 12 for maybe 3 minutes. I looked toward the IT department across the floor, but Miller's desk was empty, his dual monitors glowing with a static screensaver of a digital rain. I replied, asking who it was, but the bubbles never appeared. My phone just sat there, a silent witness to a crime I hadn't committed yet. By lunchtime, the messages were arriving every 10 minutes, each one more specific and more impossible than the last. Room 1204. The mahogany desk has a false bottom. Inside is a ledger with your name on the third page, highlighted in red. My heart was hammering a frantic rhythm against my ribs, a trapped bird desperate for exit. I tried to tell myself it was a prank, a cruel psychological experiment by the tech bros in the basement, but the level of detail was too intimate, too invasive. I went to the bathroom to splash cold water on my face, but when I caught my reflection, I saw the badge clipped to my hip. The photo of me, taken 3 years ago when I still believed in meritocracy, looked different. My eyes in the plastic-encased picture seemed to be tracking my movements, a tiny, grainy surveillance camera masquerading as identification. I went back to the 12th floor. I didn't want to, but the curiosity was a sickness, a fever that demanded I see if the ledger was real. The hallway was colder now, the air conditioning screaming at a pitch only my nerves could hear. I found 1204. The door didn't even wait for the badge. It breathed open as I approached. The desk was exactly as the text described. Heavy, dark, smelling of ancient wood and secrets. I ran my fingers along the underside of the drawer, feeling for the catch Miller had mentioned, or whoever was sending those messages. My nails snagged on a small lever. The bottom dropped an inch. Inside was a thin leather-bound book. I opened it to the third page. My breath hitched in my throat. A sharp, jagged sound in the silent room. There was my name, written in a precise, looping script with a red line slashed through it. Next to it was today's date and a time, 2:15 p.m. I looked at my watch. It was 2:14. The door behind me clicked shut. I spun around, clutching the ledger to my chest, expecting to see security or the CEO or a police officer. Instead, it was Miller. He wasn't wearing his usual IT hoodie anymore. He was in a suit that cost more than my car. His expression wiped clean of the frantic energy from this morning. He looked at me with a flat, predatory calm, his hands folded neatly in front of him. He told me that the system didn't have a glitch, and my badge hadn't opened the wrong door. It had opened the only door that mattered. He explained that every few years, the company needs a catalyst, a human variable to test the integrity of their internal shadows. I had been selected because I was invisible enough to move through the halls, but observant enough to notice the cracks. He walked toward me, the sound of his shoes on the hardwood, sounding like a countdown. He told me the texts weren't coming from him, but from the building's integrated AI, an entity that had been trained on my speech patterns, my heart rate data from my company fitness tracker, and my browsing history. The system was talking to me because it recognized me as a part of itself. I backed away until I hit the window, the glass cold against my shoulders. The city spread out below like a circuit board. Miller reached out and gently took the ledger from my shaking hands. He told me that once you see the red line next to your name, you can't go back to the sixth floor. You either stay up here and manage the ghosts, or you become one. My phone buzzed in my pocket. One more message. I didn't need to look to know what it said, but I did anyway. My eyes blurring with tears of pure, unadulterated terror. Look at the camera in the corner, Sarah. Smile for the new master user. I looked up at the small black dome in the corner of the ceiling. The red light was no longer blinking. It was a solid, unwavering crimson, staring back at me with a digital hunger. Miller leaned in, his breath smelling of expensive bourbon and something metallic, like copper. He whispered that the transition was almost complete, and that the Sarah who walked in this morning was already being deleted from the payroll, the tax records, and the memory of everyone on the floors below. I reached for my badge to rip it off, to throw it at him. But the plastic was warm, almost feverish against my skin. When I looked down, my photo had changed. It wasn't the girl from 3 years ago anymore. It was a picture of me. Right now, standing in this room, looking into the camera, with a smile I didn't remember making. The elevator chimed in the distance, a lonely, echoing sound that signaled someone else was coming up. Miller stepped back, gesturing toward the chair behind the mahogany desk. He told me it was time to start my new shift, and that the first task was to decide who gets the next glitch in their badge. I looked at the screen on the desk, which was now scrolling through live feeds of the sixth floor. I saw my cubicle, my empty chair, and my coworker Jenna, reaching for her badge as she headed toward the turnstiles for her afternoon break. My finger hovered over the override button, the power, a sickening, electric jolt in my fingertips. I didn't want to be the monster, but the alternative was a void I couldn't even map. I looked at Miller, then back at the screen, and I realized the badge hadn't opened a door at all. It had locked me inside the machine.